You're listening to Food Integrity Now with Carol Gravais, Matt Spaeth, and Jeannie Smith, revealing the truth about the food we eat.
Hello, and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Jeannie Smith, the host of your show today. On Food Integrity Now, we not only talk about issues that affect our global food supply, we also bring you integrity news and information on various topics that are affecting the quality of our lives. Our goal is to bring you this information in an uncensored and honest way so that you can use it in creating change both in your life and in the lives of others. Find us on the web at foodintegritynow.org. You can listen to all our shows directly on our site or on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Our sponsor for today's show is Willard Water, and we thank you for supporting them. Our topic for today is surviving cancer, how one woman healed breast cancer and her life, and learned how to navigate all the decisions that were presented to her and deal with the emotions and fears one faces with this diagnosis. And our guest for today is Jana Tompkins. Welcome, Jana.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you as our guest. And we want to say a special thank you to you for being willing to share your personal story with our listeners. Jana, first tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'll soon be 60. I am married. I live in the beautiful state of Colorado, and I have two grown daughters and two wonderful little granddaughters that are 3 and 6.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful family.
Yes, it is. I love the granddaughters. Everything they say about grandkids is absolutely true.
Wonderful. Well, Jana, let's take a little step back and tell me what life was like for you before the diagnosis.
Well, before I was diagnosed, I believed that certain lifestyle elements, specifically certain things we'd heard in the news, like eating a vegetarian diet and exercising, which I did, would keep me healthy. I was a vegetarian, not vegan. I drank red wine with dinner because I'd always heard to the mass media that was good for you. And I exercised an hour every day. I led a very active lifestyle. I had a pretty high stress job. I worked more than 40 hours a week. But even though I exercised, I really didn't take care of myself, probably emotionally. My life was more or less my work, and so I tended to care for others' needs before my own.
I see. Yeah, on the surface, without looking at the emotional piece, it's like, you know, eating a healthy diet, exercising daily, managing the stress of your job. You know, on the surface, you're right. That looks ideal. It sounds like something somebody would prescribe. But the absolute key element to a healthy lifestyle is, where are you on the emotional side? So by taking care of others and making them the priority, were you neglecting yourself? Were you doing, or were you nurturing yourself? Can you contrast that for us?
I didn't really nurture myself. And I'd grown up not being particularly nurtured. So I spent a lot of time doing work, you know, nurturing work, and doing the basics I needed to do for other people, but not for myself.
I see. And one of the really interesting things that I have learned and have studied is the direct impact and the connection between the mind, the emotions, the body, and the spirit. And if there's a disturbance in one of those areas of our life that we don't deal with, such as nurturing ourselves, it is going to show up in the physical body to, in essence, get our conscious attention to be able to say, hey, we're out of balance. What needs to get back into balance? So could you take us forward a little bit then and tell us what happened, how you got diagnosed, and how you felt about that.
Well, I actually did a monthly exam and found the lump myself. It takes a period of time to go through the process, having a biopsy, all of the steps to being diagnosed. And I just never expected to be diagnosed with any kind of cancer. As far as I know, no female on either side of my family had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And the only relatives I had that were diagnosed with any kind of cancer were very elderly, which we almost expect. I really thought that I knew what to do that would keep me healthy. So suddenly, what I had previously thought was obviously wrong. I began to ask myself, what did I do wrong? What did I need to change to be healthy? I felt as though my body had betrayed me, and I was pretty devastated at being diagnosed.
I can certainly see that. And that's, you know, feeling your body betray you, and asking questions like, what did I do wrong, can definitely send you down a path of self-judgment and taking you further away from the nurturing and the self-care that's so important to have. So when you found out you were diagnosed, what kind of options were offered to you?
Well, in the traditional medical community, I didn't have a great number of options. I of course, went down the traditional medical diagnosis, procedures, etc. But I also decided to do alternative modalities to help my survivability odds some. But really, given on the traditional side, I had 4 positive lymph nodes. So I had a protocol that I had to meet. That was surgery, radiation, chemotherapy. I started seeing an acupuncturist, a craniosacral massage therapist, a naturopath, a psychotherapist, and I began really looking into spiritual growth as well.
Well, wow, so you not only dealt with this diagnosis on a physical level, you addressed it from all levels, addressing it using acupuncture and then get therapy to work on the emotional side. And by doing it, at least from everything that I have learned and what I know to be true, you know, it's sort of like attack the problem from all angles and you have a much better chance of succeeding with a solution. So as you went through and you did these alternative choices in addition to, you know, the standard medical model of what you need to do on the physical side, how did you start to feel?
Well, of course, initially with all the chemotherapy and all the things all the poisoning that you get from your body from radiation and chemotherapy, I felt terrible. But as I began to heal from all of those are fairly short-lived, but as I began to heal over a longer period of time, because that's been 12 years, I felt much better. My naturopath encouraged me to include some meat in my diet. She preferred bison over beef and turkey over chicken. The more wild, the better. And a lot of plant protein and lots of vegetables. And I love that. I had always before had a drink of a glass of wine with dinner. I stopped that because alcohol does interfere with the metabolization of certain sex hormones. And it is related to higher incidence of breast cancer, even though it's been shown to help with certain types of other things like heart disease. So I quit any kind of wine. And actually, I think that was causing a problem I didn't even realize, as was dairy. Even though I was vegetarian, I did dairy. And dairy was a lot of my protein. Mm-hmm. And I think the dairy really set up some intestinal issues that I didn't even, you know, I think sometimes when we don't, when we aren't really in touch with our bodies, we don't realize how we feel after we eat some things that are bad for us. And I think the dairy had set up some just intestinal distress that I didn't even realize it because I had grown so accustomed to it.
So you weren't aware of any sensitivity, you weren't lactose intolerant prior to this, but when you stopped taking dairy, you noticed that for your body and your body type, and Jana, do you happen to know your blood type?
It's O.
It is O. Okay, because I know a lot of our listeners have read the book Eat Right for Your Type and
yes.
try to eat according to what their blood type is, O, A, B, or AB.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would imagine as an O, I'm an O, and I know one of the things is to eat, there's a demand for O blood types of higher protein. So I can see why your naturopath said to start eating more animal protein in order to keep that up. But you found after you stopped dairy, so you stopped everything, no milk, no yogurt, no ice cream, no cheese, none of that. Is that correct?
Yes. And yes.
So tell me how you felt differently.
I think it had set up some emotional distress that I really didn't realize, not emotional, kind of intestinal distress that I hadn't realized that I had. It was just a little bit of bloating
and
maybe constipation. But afterward, I felt so much better, and especially ingestion of, although I'd eaten a lot of vegetables, I eat a ton of vegetables now, and I crave vegetables.
Wonderful. Well, I want to go back also to you made a mention of drinking wine, and I'd like to expand on that a bit because you're right. Initially, alcohol was no good, and then they came out and said, yes, a glass of, you know, wine, and I think on some of the newscasts, they said specifically red wine because of the properties in it is healthy for your heart, and it was a good thing. But you're saying that you've learned through all of the research that you've done as a part of this, that alcohol, you said it interferes with certain sex hormones. Could you put a few more words around that for us?
I'm not even sure that they understand how this process, the metabolization of certain hormones, especially estrogen, and how that's affected. I think it, one thing that I read is that it interferes with the aromatization of estrogens, which is a long story, but in essence, it means kind of that those estrogens hang around a little longer than they should. They're not metabolized as quickly by the body and eliminated by the body.
Interesting. So, very interesting. Yeah, go ahead. I was just commenting that's something I had not heard.
Yes. And I'm not sure. I tried to do some research a couple of months ago on it, and the clinical trials that have been done were not as, maybe just not as plentiful as I would have liked to have seen. But I do know that there have been some done that talk about the relationship between even one glass of wine a day and the incidence of breast cancer.
Interesting. I know we have wine drinkers in our audience, so it's something that they can have a look at and do some research on their own regarding the metabolization of estrogen. So, okay. So did you learn this through your naturopath or is your own research?
This was really more my own research. My naturopath initially said that alcohol was related to higher incidence of breast cancer, but I have also looked at the research that's out there.
I see. Well, that certainly is something for us to be aware of. So as you address the all of the physical things, your surgery, your chemo, your radiation, and you started doing all of these alternative cares, these alternative choices in your life, you said you started certainly by eliminating dairy, you felt a whole lot better, at least digestive and intestinal wise. Mm-hmm. And then eating all of the vegetables, that actually your desire for those increased. What other, in going through this cancer experience, what other changes to your attitudes, to your life, did you find, what other changes occurred for you?
Well, I'd say a few things. So one of them probably relates a great deal to what your program is about. I did start to eat animal protein that is produced and processed locally, sustainable agriculture. I get my meat from Rocky Plains Quality Meats. They have bison on site, and the owner is very picky about how it's processed. So I went into this looking at how do I get local food that is humanely raised and processed. His chicken is just amazing. I do eat a lot of good plant protein and vegetables, like I said. I'm more careful now to limit my exposure to harmful chemicals. I don't have, I don't spray for any kind of insects. And I think part of the diagnosis could have been because I really was exposed to harmful chemicals as a prepubescent and as a teen. And I know that there is some speculation out there that rapidly developing tissue in the prepubescent and the teen can be very susceptible to carcinogens. And, even in the 60s, when I was a kid, they would come around our neighborhood and spray with DDT for mosquitoes. And we as little kids would ride along behind those DDT sprayers on our bikes.
Wow.
So I am more careful about that. I use filtered water. I have a Watts zero waste reverse osmosis water filter because there's stuff in the water. But I'm careful about that. And I've continued this, kind of this continual growth mode, I would say, that I kind of got shocked into. I think I'm far more apt to kind of marvel at the awe and the beauty of the snow on the trees in my backyard. I can't say that I was ever one of those persons who was into money or the things that money could buy, but I think now then that I find just greater awe in nature. Just the little things that I see around me, the pretty moon when it comes up over the city and it's bright orange, that just is one of those life experiences you get to savor a little more poignantly than I did before.
Is it safe to say that it's bringing you an attitude of appreciation of life and appreciation of all of the natural wonder that's around you? I mean, reusing your words, but
yes.
If you're in a job that's high stress, oftentimes you miss that.
Exactly. You do. You're running so fast that you forget to, quintessentially smell the roses.
Sure.
That is true.
Okay, well, Jana, we're going to take just a quick break here to recognize our sponsor, Willard Water, and we'll be right back.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm a health fanatic. I admit it. I read all the labels, eat organic food, and I'm very aware of what I put into my body. I practice holistic health, use alternative healing products, and never miss my daily dose of Willard water. Willard water is made with fossilized organics and contains nearly 24 trace minerals that are essential to maintaining strong bones, heart health, and good energy. Simply adding a quarter capful of Willard water to my tea makes a tremendous impact on my overall well-being. Willard water is tasteless and odorless. Dr. Willard's patented catalyst helps our bodies better absorb the minerals and nutrients we need to maintain optimal health. If you care about your health, you'll try Willard water today.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
And welcome back. We're talking with Jana Tompkins, survivor of breast cancer, and she's talking about what her life was like before the diagnosis, what she went through, and all of the new choices that she made that has assisted her in healing her body and her life. And Jana, so how many years have you been cancer-free?
12 years.
12 years. Excellent. Excellent. So if you were to, let me ask you one other thing about the process that you went through. Was it overwhelming? Was it easy to figure out what you needed to do? Or was it really overwhelming?
It's very overwhelming. And I have a great deal of compassion for individuals who may be elderly, who just probably maybe aren't as adept at doing research on the web about what kind of questions they should ask the doctors or et cetera. I found it very overwhelming. A lot of people do. They just need help from someone, and some people don't have a helpmate to be there with them and hear everything the doctor says or be there to write out the list of pills that need to be taken that day. So it's very overwhelming.
And having gone through this and had to figure out on your own how all of this ties in and what your options are and what alternative options that you have as well, I understand that brought you to a career change.
Yes, I took classes from the Harold P. Freeman Patient Navigation Institute in New York City, and I became a patient navigator. And I have a private practice. I also work for Progressive Health Center. Harold P. Freeman started the first patient navigation institute because he saw that individuals were individuals of color who had a lower socioeconomic status were actually falling through the cracks. So patient navigation helps to help those individuals to get testing, to go through the process. And what I do is to help individuals understand the options and the positives and negatives of the options that are available to them, and help them to go through this process with the least amount of stress possible.
Well, I think that this new career for you certainly has a huge place in the lives of many people who are facing these kinds of illnesses. And I know when we had talked before the show, you had indicated that, you know, you were also assisting people who have been diagnosed with a specific type of cancer and finding clinical trials that are out there. And I think that is huge, because just depending on whether your particular oncologist is up to date on all of them, you know, some people who are given pretty grim diagnoses don't really know that these options are out there.
Exactly. I had a woman who called me from Atlanta, and she actually knew a lot about her diagnosis, but she had not gotten into a clinical trial that was being offered at her doctor's office, and she wanted in a clinical trial somewhere nearby who was like that was based on the same kind of protocol as the clinical trial that she missed. It had closed prior to when she decided to join it. So I found that trial, or a trial very similar to it, a couple hundred miles from her home. And so those are, I was shocked. She told me she just didn't have the energy to do the research herself. She had just finished chemotherapy, and she was exhausted. But she knew a lot about what was going on. So I was a little shocked because she had enough to know about what a clinical trial was and everything, but she knew that she didn't have the energy to do it. She needed someone to help her do that.
Well, I can certainly understand that, having lost my brother and my father to cancer. You know, they're coming out of those physical protocols, it's as if, you know, your body is so tired, it can't really support what your mind and heart want to do. So having somebody that is a patient navigator, I had not heard of that until I met you. And boy, can I see a need for this type of, for someone in that type of a role. I think that's wonderful. I do have a question for you, just to, if you had to go back in time and repeat this entire experience, was there anything that you would do differently?
I really don't look back. There were so many variables. I did so many alternative modalities. I did the most aggressive medical treatment I could do. So there were so many variables that I really don't know which worked and which didn't.
Sure.
I don't obsess about what I do now, even though I kind of try to take all this. I'm careful with what I eat, but I'm not obsessive about it. And I think that I tend to take that kind of viewpoint that whatever comes along, comes along. It is what it is. I'll deal with it at the time. And I try to enjoy life. I think there are times, and in some circles, we tend to blame the diagnosed for their diagnoses. And I think that there are things we can all change. But I think that we all live in a human body. We all live in this kind of strong but frail human body. And we do the best we can do, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, and we'll make a change. But we all live in a human body, and it's enjoyable, and there are challenges. And we deal with those when they come along.
Well, I think it goes back to the idea of, and it sounds like a cliche, to live each day as if it were your last, but the real underlying piece of that is that this present moment that we're given is what's real. The past is gone. The future's not here. Not to sound philosophical, but really it's much more than a philosophy. It's a lifestyle to learn to enjoy each day and the small blessings that are often overlooked when you're so busy and so wrapped up in a hurried schedule. I have one final question, and that is, For our listeners, for anyone who's listening that may have just recently been diagnosed or are currently in a treatment for cancer now, what recommendations would you have for them?
Well, in my private practice and even in my practice at Progressive Health Center, I listen to the client, the person who's been diagnosed. I listen to their concerns because I think their experiences are theirs alone. I had my experiences. Sometimes there are a great deal of commonality in those, but I like to listen to them and fully understand what they are feeling and what they ultimately want from their treatment.
So the recommendation you would have is to ensure that whoever they're dealing with is someone who is not just treating them in a cookie cutter fashion, but really listening to them, because it does come down to its life choices for them. Would you have any input on people who may be considering alternative care?
I think your observations are precisely correct. And with alternative care, I think that it always can offer healing. And I have to tell you, though, what I got from my traditional medical community when I went through all this treatment, about half of what I needed to be treated for was treated with traditional medicine. The other half was treated through essentially my alternative docs. They are far more apt to look at me as a whole person. And I think that makes a tremendous difference in our own body's ability to deal with an acute crisis. And so I always recommend that individuals, there's always some acupuncture helps tremendously with the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. Any of the pain that you have with a surgery, you can deal with that so much better with acupuncture. Massage is wonderful. I think that psychotherapy is really important for anyone who goes through this process. So I think that's kind of it. All of those things add their piece that's so important.
Well, I thank you for sharing that. And Progressive Health Center is a alternative care clinic in Englewood in the Denver area, associated with Swedish Hospital. And they offer acupuncture, massage, counseling, craniosacral, Tai energy work. They have yoga. There's so many different options to support someone who is going through something like this, because as I'm sure you would agree, cancer is absolutely life-changing, and how you go through it really dictates the outcome. Not only gives you a better chance for, you know, the best outcome that you can have, but it also goes as far as helping with the quality of your life while you're in the healing process. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And there are people who will not physically be cured. However, they can heal.
Would you like to put a few more words around that for people who may not be aware of what you mean?
Well, I think that in our life, we can heal. We can heal those emotional scars that we have. We can heal our lives. I think that sometimes when people are diagnosed, there is stage four. Some people do live over those. However, if it does not, even if someone is so ill that it doesn't appear that they will heal physically, they can always do the work to heal emotionally, mentally, and have palliative care that will help them to live their final days in a happier state.
I agree with you, and I am aware that at Progressive Health, they also have end-of-life care and support available as well. So in closing, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about what you went through and how you've taken it, not as a victim, but as saying, this is my experience and here's how I'm going to work with it? And anything else you'd like to add to what we've talked about?
Well, I think the only thing I can think of is that if you know someone who is going in for a diagnostic test, or if you yourself are, or if you feel like you should, I think that individuals need to push for their own health care. When we invite anyone new to enter into our support group, we always tell the person the first time they come, everyone will want you to be better. Your family will help you, but it's up to you to heal. And it's up to you to direct your own care. So I think there are young women out there who have found a lump and they sometimes don't get it really evaluated as soon as they should, because the doctors will dismiss them and say, oh, you're too young to have breast cancer. No, get the care you need one way or another is always what I think we should do. Just keep at it until you get the care you need. If you need someone to help you, get someone to be your advocate and to help you get the care you need.
I think those are wise words, Jana, to take responsibility for yourself and just keep pushing. If you don't feel like what you're getting meets your needs, to keep looking elsewhere. I think that's great. And I want to mention, when we mentioned Progressive Health Center, their website for any of our listeners is www.progressivehealthcenter.org. All one word, .org. And Jana, I understand for your private practice, you also have your own website. Would you like to share that with our listeners?
It's jtprivatenavigation.com.
jtprivatenavigation.com. All right, that's great. And again, I want to say a special thank you to you for having shared a lot of, you know, this is a very personal journey that you were on, and your willingness to share it with our listeners who may be facing it themselves or know someone who's facing it. We very much appreciate that. And thank you once again to everyone listening out there. If you like what you hear on this show, please remember to head over to iTunes and leave a comment or a rating for us there. It's the best way to spread this show around and help us along. If you have any show ideas, comments, or just want to say hi, email us at info@foodintegritynow.org. We'd love to hear from you. Check us out on the web at foodintegritynow.org, where you can find archive shows and news. And this is Jeannie Smith wishing you a happy and a healthy week. Until next time, stay educated and stay active.